With over 90% of the votes counted in the Israeli national election, Benjamin Netanyahu has held on to his position as Prime Minister. What's left to be decided, however, is which parties he'll attempt to bring together to form a coalition government. The Wire's Jared Sferuzzi spoke with Ron Weiser, Honorary Life President of the Zionist Council of New South Wales, and asked him about the political fallout.
Clearly what's happened this time, it's a Bibi Netanyahu victory. The Prime Minister's returned. Much to the surprise of the polling, it was a much bigger win than expected. What has happened, though, is that the voters have moved back towards the centre from both sides, so that for the first time in quite a long time in the number of elections, the two major parties together form, if they were to combine, would form almost a clear majority. It never in the history of Israel has any party got 61 seats. It's also a single house parliament, so this is quite normal. One party is usually invited by the president to attempt to form a coalition. Netanyahu will not have trouble forming a coalition as such. It will only depend on who he wants to bring into the coalition in terms of what policies he'll want to follow into the future. Notably, the ultra-left parties and the ultra-right parties all did extremely badly. They all polled far less than in the past. One did not even reach the threshold. And so whatever government he forms will be a much more centrist government, which will present him with one problem, and that is that in order to achieve higher votes for himself, in the last 2 days of the election, he made his first actual policy commitment, which was saying that there wouldn't be a Palestinian state. That is going to be one of the questions that will determine who does and doesn't join this coalition.
What were some of the policies that were put forward by both the major and the minor parties?
So, in terms of the major parties, we can call this a Seinfeld election. There were no policies. It was a referendum, in effect, on Bibi Netanyahu himself, on the Prime Minister himself, who is not that popular, but has proven time and time again that nobody is more popular than him. With the situation in the region, no party was willing to adventure any new policies. In fact, their foreign policies were very similar, except again for the extremes, which I can come back to in a moment. And on the socio-economic policies, in terms of tackling the housing cost of housing crisis and other such issues, all sides said they would reduce it. None were able to say why, and each side blamed the other for not doing it in the past.
That's Ron Weiser. He's Honorary Life President of the Zionist Council of New South Wales. Well, as commentators speculate on who will be involved in the new Israeli government, the country's largest minority group are left wondering whether their conditions will change at all. With over 5 million Palestinian Arabs in the region, they're not a silent political force. An Associate Professor of Philosophy at the University of New South Wales and member of the Executive Committee of the Australian Palestine Advocacy Network, Peter Slezak, told us what his hopes for the elections were.
The hopes for the election were unrealistic. The hopes for the election, or the ultimate outcome, would be to end the occupation, and there was never going to be any hope of that, whoever won. And it's now even more clearly not going to happen, given what Netanyahu has said explicitly, really just confirming what we've known all along, was the lack of any serious intention to give the Palestinians an independent state. Whether one could have conceivably hoped for a better outcome, the Arab List apparently has done quite well, and that's been an important new development. They're now asserting themselves as 20% of the Israeli population, who are very seriously disadvantaged in all sorts of legal ways. So, I mean, one couldn't have hoped for too much, even if Netanyahu hadn't have won, and the other party with Tzipi Livni and the Zionist party had come in. I mean, they're hardly, peacemakers, or hardly have any better intentions for the Palestinians.
This is the first time, as far as I understand, in Arab-Israeli politics that Arab politicians formed a joint party that combined people of all ideologies. Is this something that they can then work on, I guess, into the future to have more of a presence in the Knesset?
I'd hope so. I mean, I think they've realised that this is an important strength by coming together. I'm not quite sure why they've been so fragmented in the past when they clearly have very common interests. Within Israel itself, we're talking now about the Palestinians within Israel proper, where they're very severely discriminated against, not least of all because of the declaration that Israel wants itself to be a Jewish state. A state should be the state of its citizens, and 20% in this case are not Jewish. So that's an inherent contradiction. The Arabs, the Palestinians, need to stick together and fight for their rights, and this is a good step in that direction.
For the more than 4 million people living in the state of Palestine, what does this election outcome mean for them?
It means more of the same and perhaps worse. I mean, that's the tragedy. The tragedy is that the occupation and its brutality, its cruelty, is not widely understood. I mean, they kill on average, since the year 2000, two Palestinian kids are being shot dead regularly. So this is what's going to continue under Netanyahu. The strategy is now explicit. They have no intention of giving the Palestinians a state of their own. Now, it was always clear. I mean, anybody had any brains could see that this was the intention. In fact, it's rarely mentioned. It's been an explicit part of the Likud platform. So it says that Israel goes from the river Jordan to the sea. So sadly, we're going to see more of this. And the big question really is how the United States is going to behave. The only good thing, if I wanted to see some optimism here, it would be that Netanyahu is so getting up the nose of Obama and the Americans. Even the Jewish communities are splitting on this. And with a bit of luck, Americans will start to exercise some restraints.
That's Associate Professor Peter Slezak. He was speaking with The Wire's Jared Sverutzi.